We're going to get right into the Word of God. I'm so excited about the Word. I'm excited that Jesus is alive. But I believe today that you're going to be built up. I believe today that you're going to be exhorted and you're going to be edified by the Word of God and by the Spirit of the living God today. I'm believing. I have been praying. I've been praying all week. We have been praying all week. Our staff, our intercessors, I'm loving it on Zoom. We're having some incredible prayer times. Pastor John has organized with all of our prayer intercessors and our houses of prayer. And man, they are just praying and praying and praying. And we're going to continue praying. We are not going to stop praying until we see this stuff gone from our presence. In the name of Jesus Christ. But just remember this, as being in the body of Christ, being a child of the living God, you have promises. And there are principles in the Word of God that can take us through every valley, every trouble, all the situations and circumstances that we face. We have a God and we have His promises that will walk us through every single event in our lives. You know, not long ago, there was a group of dairy farmers that got together, and they put together this slogan, and they were doing this because they wanted to sell some milk. And so the slogan was, "Got Milk," and it just got everybody's attention. Today, I want to give you a slogan. Got hope. Got hope. Do you have hope? That's the reason that the Bible is full of hope. But at the same time, the Bible has a whole host of people, multitudes of people, incidents that you see in the Bible. People that face some very hard and dark times, huge troubles, overwhelming circumstances, just like we're facing today all over the world concerning the coronavirus and an economic chaos that it looks like all over the world also. But in these moments, in these times, you and I, humanity, you have two choices. You say, "Pastor, what are those choices?" Well, for us that are born again believers, here's our choices: to live, to praise, to pray, and to declare in the light of our faith and hope in God and hope in His Word. Or you can grope in the darkness of despair, depression, and hopelessness. Let me just say this: if you're in that place of despair, you're in that place of depression, you're in that place of hopelessness, you do not want to miss what I'm getting ready to say. The principles that I'm getting ready to share with you today that literally will change your life. I'm going to give you two. There's many others, but I'm going to give you two biblical examples of how people dealt with the very things that you and I are dealing with right now. In the darkness, in the attack of our enemies. And there are three ingredients that are so vital for every single one of us to understand, and when we understand it, to apply it, adhere to it, and walk in it. Number one is understanding relationship. Not only relationship with God, but our relationship with one another. Number two is faith. Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. But God gave us the vehicle whereby we can get faith. And what is that vehicle? It is His Word. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you have relationship, you have faith, and you have hope. Hope is vitally important. Hope is one of the most important ingredients that every human being needs. Because without it, we have no purpose. we actually have no meaning. We have no future that we're looking for. So we want to talk about these particular areas. So the first thing I want to do is I want to introduce our first person. He is a man that is in extreme circumstances. Something actually happened to him that has caused him to be quarantined from going to the temple of God and to worship God. Just like you and I have been quarantined or sheltered in from coming to church and being here with our family and our friends, and man, we miss those things. Well, this man was just like that. And I want to read to you out of this psalm, and then I'm going to talk to you to the next man, and you probably know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. But first of all, I want to show you someone that is basically kind of going through the same difficulties that we're facing right now. It is in Psalms, the 42nd chapter, beginning with verse 1, verses 1 through 5. Come on, did you shout for the Word of God? We shout, yeah! We shout for God's Word. That's something to shout about. Now listen as this man is writing. Now this was written by the sons of Korah. We don't know which one wrote it. Maybe they all got together, like our praise team, and many praise teams get together and they write songs together. Well, the songs of Korah actually wrote this song. And it says this, it starts out with this. As the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. Now, one thing we need to see in this is so vitally important is this. The deer is not a deer that's just feeding out in the field and just decides to go over and get some water. In the Jewish study books that I have, that I look this up in, the deer, it is an indication that the deer is being hunted. That somebody is trying to hunt the deer down. And the deer is running for his life or her life. He's running. And the deer is going over the mountains, the hills. He's running through the fields, in the forest, in the woods. And he gets to the place that he kind of feels dehydrated. He's beginning to feel weak, and he knows that he needs some water. So he's longing for that water. He's looking for that water. And not only that, when he gets in the water, because a hunter knows this, that if a deer gets in the water, especially if the deer is being chased by dogs, if the deer gets into the water, then the deer can walk down the stream and the dogs will lose the scent. And so this man is saying the same thing. He says, I feel like a hunted man. So many people today feel like they've been hunted by the coronavirus. And people are experiencing things they've never experienced before, like in our nation or around the world. And this is exactly what he was doing. He was saying, I feel like a hunted man, and I feel like that I'm being hunted by his enemies. In actuality, he is surrounded by his enemies, just like we are surrounded right now by all kinds of darkness and death and other things. And then he goes to verse 2, and he says this, I thirst for God, the living God. You know, I love him when he says that, I thirst for God. He could have just left it like that. But then he said, no. It's not just a God. He's a living God. He is the only God. You know, people worship idols. They have eyes they cannot see. They have ears they cannot hear. They have arms and hands they cannot move. But you know what's behind idols? Demon spirits. The Bible tells us that over in the New Testament. Demon spirits are behind idols. You don't want to worship an idol. There is the living God. Not a living God. There is the living God. The one and only living God who created you in his image and who loves you immensely. So he said, I thirst for God. Remember what Jesus said over in Matthew? And when he was giving the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, so they shall be filled. Man, when you start thirsting for God, glory to God, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. He says this, when can I go and stand before him? Man, I'm separated from being where I want to go and worship, even though we can worship God anywhere, but we're kind of separated from being all together in the assembly and worshiping God. So what is happening to him right now? It's indicating this, that loneliness is pressing hard upon his emotions with an aching effect. And you know, many of us going through this, we can start experiencing loneliness. You remember when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross and he told his disciples, he said, every one of you are going to leave me and you're going to leave me alone. And then Jesus said, but I am not alone. Praise God. Man, this has happened to me so many times in my life. You just feel like you're all alone in situations or issues or circumstances. And man, you don't know if people just really understand. But I tell you this, your God understands. God understands everything. And I remember what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're going to leave me alone. Every one of you, you're going to depart from me. But he said, but I am not alone because my Father is with me. When you get that revelation that God will never leave you nor forsake you, oh man, it just changes the way you view things and it changes the way you go through things. Doesn't mean that you don't battle emotions. I battle emotions. I battle all the very things that I see and read in the Bible. Every one of us as human beings living in this world the way it is, with the enemy, with the devil and demonic spirits and people around us and sickness, disease, infirmities like that. All of us face these issues at times in our lives. And at that time is when we've got to take a hold of our emotions and not let our emotions take us down into depression. So he said, listen to this now in verse 3, day and night I have only tears for food while my enemies constantly taunt me saying, where is this God of yours? So in other words, he said, listen, my emotions are affecting me in such a way that at night I'm crying. There is nothing wrong with crying. There is nothing wrong at times with grieving as long as you don't let the grief take you down into the pit of depression. That's what you got to guard from. God's the one that gave us the tear ducts so that we could cry. And there are times in our lives that we do cry. I mean, I can cry sometimes when it just seems like that everything around you is falling apart, or you lose a loved one, or something happens unexpectedly. It can bring tears to your eyes. But at the same time, the enemy attacks too. Isn't it amazing how the enemy gets so emboldened when he sees us get into sometimes an emotional state? Sometimes when we're crying or we feel we have the symptoms of despair or hopelessness, he will attack. He's ruthless. And when he attacks, he says things just like this. Where is your God? So what was happening? Fear and discouragement at this time was literally trying to paralyze his mind. He feels that he's surrounded by all of his enemies, and he's literally afraid to go out of his place of seclusion. The possibility of death could be a reality. That's exactly where we are today. So many people, we're afraid to go out. We're not supposed to be going out at times, but except for groceries and the essentials and things like that. But yet at the same time, when we go out, the reality, seeing people walk around with masks, you know, and people staying away from one another, the reality of the coronavirus, it is there, just like he's facing right here. The possibility of death could be a reality. He can't go to work. Man, that has an effect upon you. Sometimes you can't go to work. You're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Because I've got a whole new life right now until I can get back to work. And sometimes we feel like that we're not even useful if I can't go to work or to do something. So he can't go to work. He's being mocked and tormented and taunted by negative thoughts from the enemy of his soul, declaring to him, and we've heard this so many times in our own lives, your God has abandoned you. He doesn't love you. Why would he allow this to happen to you? You're never going to see his goodness. He's not listening to your prayers. You're not going to make it out of this dilemma. It's lights out for you and your family. And you imagine that attack? I mean, so many of us have been through attacks like that. And then in verse 4, he says this, my heart is breaking as I remember memories of the good times, memories of the fun times, memories of the laughter, memories of being with his family and being with folks. And he says this, my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amidst the sound of a great celebration. Man, he's missing being at church. He's missing around the celebration because there is an energy. I mean, it's great that we can do the live streaming, but when you get in with the assembly, when you get in with the congregation, there is an energy that is absolutely amazing and incredible. The anointing of God, the presence of God, man, it just magnifies when you get in the presence. So what is he saying? He says, I'm missing my friends. I'm missing the smiles. I'm missing the hugs and the handshakes and the laughter and the joy of worshiping with them. The congregation where he went. Of course, he was in the temple, but with us it's the church. And the thoughts again and again run through his mind like a river torrent out of control, stating, you'll never experience this again. The enemy taunting and saying, hey, it's over. It's history. And here's what he says. Now he starts talking to himself. Sometimes when you get into places that you feel hopeless, discouraged, disappointment, despair, you got a self-talk. Man, the Psalms is full of that. You got a self-talk. You got to start talking to yourself, because left to yourself, let your own flesh and let yourself be in control, he will take you down. Not, you won't have a bowl of cherries, you'll be in the pits. So you've got to make sure that you start talking to yourself. This is what he did in verse 5. Why am I so discouraged? There's an examination that's taking place, because there's an inner turmoil that he's dealing with right now. And he's asking this, why are you discouraged? Why are you disappointed? Why are you in despair right now? Why is my heart so sad? Well, his heart is sad because his heart's being pierced by cruel and vicious words of his enemies and what they're saying to him. And when we get into a situation like this, what does one do facing times that like this to bring sanity and clear thinking back? Well, he tells us right here, the last part of verse 5. First, he's talking to himself. He says, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And then he comes back. Watch this. Here's the ultimate comeback. Then he comes back and he says, I will. He makes a choice. He makes a decision. Praise God. You've got a choice. You and I have a decision to make. And out of that decision, we've got to make a decision of what we're going to do in this situation. He says, I will put my hope in God. I will put my hope. I will put my hope in God. I love this. I love this. I will praise him again. My Savior and my God. Ah, come on. Say, enemy, you're saying, where's my God? I'll tell you where he's at. I'm going to start praising him, and bless God, he's going to show up. Because every time I start praising him, every time I put my hope in him, I will not be disappointed. Every time I start singing to my God, I start declaring the word of God, my God shows up. Praise God. He may show up to strengthen me because he lives right here. So when I say show up, that means he will manifest right here by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? Praise God. When I start declaring and I start doing what he just did, then hope arises. That means God arises. The Spirit of God arises. The Word of God starts coming up into my mind instead of the enemy's voice. So when we talked about the ingredients, what did we say? Relationship, faith, and hope. So let's look at relationship. Hope is being conscious of the living presence of God that is with us and in us in every circumstance and event in life. Listen to Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord, He is the one. Now, this is God speaking to the children of Israel. And listen to me, it's the same God speaking to you today. All scripture is profitable. Praise God. All His promises are yes and amen. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. Oh, I love that. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows the end, then He goes back to the starting point and starts. And I love this because He already has been at the end. He's at the beginning, and we're at the beginning of the starting place, and God starts leading us, and He's going before us. He's going before us. So if He's going before us, He knows exactly where I need to walk, what I need to do. He knows my provision. He knows everything. He's going before us. He said, He's the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. That's the reason I put my hope in the Lord. Now, what is hope? Well, natural hope is something like this. So, Pastor Al, how's everything going? Well, you know, we're just hoping. That's not biblical hope. That's not faith hope. That's just wishing. It's not really any hope at all. You actually, there's no faith in that at all. Let me tell you what biblical hope is. Hope, biblical hope, hope in God, hope in the Word of God. Hope is a continual anticipation and expectation of a good outcome regardless of my circumstances and reports, and it has to do with the unseen and the future. It is a desire or desires of something good with the expectation, praise God, of attaining it. Without it, without hope, and I'm talking biblical hope, hoping in God and hoping in the Word of God. Because remember, in Hebrews, the sixth chapter, it says that hope is an anchor. Hope is an anchor. It holds me steady. It holds me down in the storms and things of life. So without hope, we can sink into a horrible pit of despair, discouragement, and frustration, and life itself literally becomes aimless. There's no direction. It's like I'm drifting in life like a log floating down the river at the mercy of the current. My life can become very erratic, which means that I don't have any definite course in life. I can have lack of purpose. There can be lack of order in my life. I try things, but it's sort of a hit and miss. I become very indecisive. Everything seems to be pointless of me trying anything. And then I stop dreaming, and then some people become suicidal. Listen, suicide and suicidal thoughts comes from the devil because he has the power of death. And if you're watching me right now, and you're saying, you know, I've had suicidal thoughts. I've had these thoughts coming in and bombarding my mind. It is from the devil. I'm telling you, it's from the devil. And I rebuke those thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke that spirit of suicide and command it to loose you right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that is your freedom and your liberty from that tormenting spirit. And we will pray at the end of this service. So Proverbs the 13th chapter verse 12 says this, hope deferred, and the word deferred there means removed. Hope removed makes the heart sick. Man, you gotta have hope. It's a main ingredient of our lives, the way God created us. But listen to this, but when desire comes, you know, the Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that every desire that I want, that I can go out and just say, God's a vending machine. Give me this, give me that, give me that. I want to have this. No. He said, God gives you, He puts within you His desires. Man, and his desires have to do with life and joy and peace and prosperity and health. The Bible says God gives you his desires. He gives you his desires. He'll put his desire because the Holy Spirit's there. God knows what he desires in every situation. And he says, but when desire comes, it is a tree of life. Now, if I have hope, there's got to be a foundation of that hope. There's got to be a substance of that hope that is not just unseen and in the future, but it tells me that which I'm hoping for, I have it. It's mine. What does that? Faith. Faith does that. Faith gives substance to our hope. Listen to Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 1. It says this, now faith is the substance. And the word substance there means the foundation and confidence. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen to this statement. Faith is the substance, foundation, confidence of things hoped for. So faith is unemployed without hope. You have hope, expectation, anticipation of good things. What gives me the foundation to stand on in my hope? What keeps me anchored in my hope? It's my faith. Faith in the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So it's the promises of God and God's Word and God Himself that is the evidence of what I don't see right now, but I will attain it. I will have it. I will get it if I don't give up. And it's not, listen, God's Word and faith in God's Word, that it is not revealed to my five senses. So I'm not going to feel like I'm going to get it, or I'm not going to, there's no feelings concerning that, because the flesh doesn't understand faith. It's right here in your spirit. It's right here in your mind. It's the reason you're supposed to renew your mind. But faith says, praise God, this is what I'm hoping for. And faith comes in and says, we got it. Praise God. I love it. If two shall agree on earth as in harmony. So when faith and hope gets in harmony with one another, what you're believing for and you haven't seen it, it's going to come. You're going to get it. And let me tell you something else about hope. Hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because God is the God of all hope. But now listen to me. You hope, you have faith, but there's some words, some principles here that you and I need to understand that's vitally important as we are walking through these situations, these circumstances, these dark times, okay, as we're walking through there and we have hope, we have the promises, you must be patient, you must persevere, and you must remain in faith, praise, and thanksgiving. Listen to what Romans the 8th chapter verse 25 says. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So I'm hoping, my faith is the substance of confidence, the foundation of hope, of things that I don't see, but the Word is my evidence. So the Bible says that I must hope for what I do not see at the moment. I have it by faith, though, but it says that I must eagerly wait for it with perseverance. The word eagerly there means to have a strong desire and passion. So you know you're going to get what God said, but don't lose your passion. Don't lose your confidence. Don't lose that strong desire. Something else we must do. Listen to what Romans 12, chapter verse 12 says. Rejoicing in hope. That's your praise. That's your thanksgiving. You're praising and thanking God for what you believe that you're going to receive and that you are going to see, that is going to manifest in your life. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, patient in the tough times. I'm being patient. Amen. That's a fruit of the Spirit, by the way. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to be patient. Help me, Holy Spirit, to be patient right now. Help me to be patient with these kids in the house. Help me to be patient, husband and wives that haven't been in a situation like this, having to be with one another for so long during the day. Holy Spirit, help us to be patient in Jesus' name. I thank you that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. I thank you for patience, Lord. And listen to what he says. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's Romans 12:12. So we're continuing to pray. We're continuing to come against the enemy. We're continuing to thank God for what he promised us. And listen to Hebrews 10:23, another principle. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. During the time that you are believing God, you've got to hold fast to your confession of hope, your trust, your confidence in God, your confession of hope, your confession of faith. You've got to hold fast to that. Listen, confession of the Word of God is not for God, because you've already prayed, you're already believing God. Confession is for you. Why is confession for me? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And once I pray for something, once I'm in hope now and I'm walking this out, then I am now in what the Bible calls the fight of faith. Because the enemy's trying to bring despair, discouragement, and depression, and trying to get me to waver and to give up. And so therefore, my confession going into my ears helps me and keeps me strong, keeps me focused on what God had promised and what I'm believing for. So I'm confessing the Word of God. I grew up like that. Man, that's what's gotten me through 50 years of my life. I still confess the Word of God. I still confess it. Whenever I'm going through difficult situations, I confess it because I need to hear what God says. I needed to hear it in my own ears and to get into my mind and down into my spirit. I need to hear it. So he said, let us hold fast. Don't you give up confessing the Word of God. Don't you stop confessing the Word of God. No matter what you feel, no matter what you see, sometimes it may get worse. Don't you stop your confession. Don't you stop confessing the Word of God. Why do I want to keep going? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now listen to this. Romans the 5th chapter, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint. Glory to God. Hope does not disappoint. Man, listen. There's a lot of things that disappoint us. There's a lot of people that disappoint us. But hope in God, hope produced from the promises of God, hope does not disappoint. Why? Watch this. I love this, one of my favorite scriptures. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Praise God. Man, I know God loves me and he loves me unconditionally. That's what Easter is all about. That's what resurrection is all about. Hope does not disappoint. Hope in God. Listen, if you're just hoping and wishing, crossing your fingers, man, that's no hope at all. You have no foundation. There's no substance there because you got to mix it with faith. Even Jesus, when he died on the cross, after he died, his body was still there, but he, the real he, because the body was his earth suit, just like an astronaut has to have a suit in outer space to be able to walk around like on the moon or to go out in outer space. So Jesus had his own earth suit. And so it's important that you understand that when he left his body, he went down and paid the ultimate price for every human being. He took all of our sin upon him so we could be forgiven. He paid the ultimate price. And what did he do? He went down into the belly of the earth. He actually went down in hell for us so that we don't have to go to hell. Hell was never created for any human being. Hell was created for the devil and the demonic spirits. It was not created for us. Jesus went there and paid the price so that we never have to go there. So we have eternal life. I mean, you're going to live forever. When this life is over, you don't just cease to exist. You have an eternal spirit on the inside of you, creating the image of God. And the moment you leave this body, it's either going to heaven or it's going to end up in hell. Either one. But Jesus went there for us. Listen to this. Listen to this. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, was preaching. And he was preaching out of the prophecy that King David gave out of Psalm 16. And he says this in Acts, the second chapter, verse 25. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. Listen to this. This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ actually being in the pit of hell. Listen to what he says in verse 27. For you will not leave my soul in Hades. That means you will not leave me in hell. You're not going to leave me in this situation. Nor, and notice he said, I will rest in hope of the resurrection. He said, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. That has to be his body. His body was laid in a tomb. He said, my body is not going to see corruption, and you're not going to leave my soul in hell. He said, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak clearly to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. Every founder of every religion is dead and buried, and you can go visit their tomb. There is one tomb that you can go visit. It is not occupied any longer. He is risen. There is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he is alive, and he is my Lord. He is my Savior. Praise God. He said, therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, nor his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we were all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out that which you see and hear. Praise God. Let me tell you something. The Bible says when Jesus was in hell, he preached to the captives there. My gracious, having a church service in the middle of hell, that had to be the devil's worst nightmare. And then not only that, he defeated Satan right in his own domain, right in his own territory. He defeated him. He took the keys of death and the grave. He preached to the captives and led captivity captive. He took them and went to the Father with them. Praise God. Listen. I made my decision when I saw that one time. I got so excited and I said, praise God. I said, devil, if you're going to put me through hell, I'm going to keep on preaching. I'm going to keep on witnessing. And I'm going to take some people with me out of the hell that you've put me in. Glory to God. I'm not just going to rest on my laurels. I'm not going into despair. I'm not going into depression. I'm not crashing. I'm going to soar. Praise God. On the wings of an eagle. Glory to God. God raised Jesus from the dead. He took him out of the pit of hell. You know, there's a psalm. I read this the other night. There's a psalm that talks about that when Jesus was in that place and he called on his father, and it says that he came from heaven, and he says the mountains were shaking, everything was shaking. Can you imagine the devil hearing the presence of God coming and showing up in there and liberating Jesus and all of the captives? It's like Paul and Silas singing, and the jail doors bust wide open. Everyone set free. And that's what Jesus does. My friend, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords and He's the King of Kings. Jesus came to this earth as the Son of the living God as a sacrifice, because God is the only one that could be a sacrifice, one sacrifice once and for all for the sin of the whole world. So God came in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus died on the cross, went down to hell, paid our price, our substitute, so that you and I could be set free from the power of sin, the power of Satan. And you can be set free from the power of addiction. You can be set free from the power of alcohol. You can be set free from the power of anything that's holding you in bondage. You can be set free from mental torment. You can be set free from anything. You can be set free from sickness and infirmity and disease. All of that was on the cross. And then God raised Him from the dead. And He is alive. He is not in a tomb. If you believe that by faith and you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, you too can have peace and joy. You too can be filled to overflowing with the presence of God. And that's what you're missing. You can be the most successful human being in the world. You can have more money than Bill Gates, but you'll never be fulfilled. You can have all the stuff. You can go to relationship, a relationship, a relationship. You can change locations and everything. You will never be fulfilled until you bow your knees, say, Jesus, I need You. I'm a sinner. Save me and deliver me and set me free. And when you call upon His name, He'll save you. And maybe you've backslidden and got away from God, and you're watching us right now and say, I don't know, I've done so many bad things. Will God have me back? Yes! 1 John, the first chapter, says that if you confess and you repent of your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. If you want to pray with me right now to be set free, to have a brand new life, to have liberty and freedom, to have joy and peace, to have God to come to live on the inside of you, to have all your sins forgiven, or you need to repent of your sins, I want you to pray this with me right now. Just pray it out loud. Father God, I thank You for Your love for me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of all my sin, and I ask Your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and You raised Him from the dead, and Jesus is alive. Right now, before heaven and earth, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Amen. My friend, if you prayed that with me, you confess Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you are saved, you are delivered, you are set free. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is going to open your eyes, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you, guide you, and direct you. By the way, if you prayed that prayer with me, there's a little button right there that says, you raised your hand, mash that button, or just type in and let us know, I received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or put in, I rededicated my life today. I want to know that, because we've been having so many people saved, so many people rededicate their lives. And now, for those of you that are sick, afflicted, diseased, you may have the coronavirus, I want to pray for you, because I believe in the power of prayer. There is no distance with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before You for my brother and my sister. And Lord, You see what's going on in their bodies. You see the attack of Satan. Lord Jesus, You said that You would confirm the word I can't reach them right now with my hands. You said lay hands on the sick, but you also said send the word and it will heal them. I've just stretched my hands, Father, right now, symbolic of the laying on of hands. And in the name of Jesus, I say to my brother and my sister, be healed and be made whole. I loose you from your infirmity. I loose you from your disease. I loose you from your sickness. I loose you from your pain in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, rise up in the name of Jesus and be healed and be made whole. In the name of Jesus, I command deaf ears open. Now, in Jesus' name, blind eyes see in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command the cripple, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus. Be resurrected in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you right now for the healing power of Almighty God, Lord Jesus, confirming your word with signs, wonders, and miracles right now where they are. Father, I thank you. Heal them and make them whole. And we give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name. Now move around. Do something that you could not do. If you had pain in your back, bend up. Do what you could not do. And when you're doing it, say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you for healing me and making me whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. There's somebody watching me right now. When I said a while ago about suicide, I'm going to pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus, you foul, tormenting, suicidal spirit, loose them in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, and return no more in Jesus' name. I release peace, the peace of God right now in the name of Jesus. Father, you're just dropping this in my heart right now. Father, I just pray for that marriage right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Satan, I command you, take your hands off of that marriage right now. In the name of Jesus. Father, let the love that they had for one another, let it right now burn within their heart. Let it melt the coldness and the ice that has come. Lord, I pray right now that there will be words of affirmation and words of comfort and words of love that will now flow from their mouths. I thank you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for healing marriages in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just see a dad that's going through so much guilt right now and shame because he's been so upset with his children. He's yelled, he's screamed. Father, in the name of Jesus, let peace like a river just flow into his heart right now. Father, help him to navigate through this time that's so tough for him right now. Help him and help us all, Father, to navigate through this time in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it. And I praise you for it. I praise you for it. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, you got hope. Hope in the Word. Hope in God. Don't give that up. Amen. Right now, we want to receive our offering. Let me receive our offering today out of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave. God is the ultimate giver. Look what he's done. Look what he's blessed. But let me also say this. He gave Jesus as a seed because as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. When you're going through difficult times and in situations that are beyond your control, don't stop your sowing. Because if you take your seed and eat your seed, you have no harvest. If you take seed and plant seed into the kingdom of God, there will be a harvest. That's all through the Bible. You should read 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, where it talks about the churches in Macedonia that were going through impoverished times, and yet what did they do? The Bible says they gave. You can give your way out of famine. Genesis 26, Isaac sowed in the middle of famine and reaped a hundredfold return. How do you sow seed in a famine? Only by the supernatural miracle working power of God and being obedient to His word. So I want you to sow. I want you, don't stop giving. Don't stop. We're not going to give the devil any glory whatsoever by our Christians stop giving. Don't stop giving. You haven't stopped eating. You haven't stopped going to the grocery stores and buying things. Don't stop your sowing into the kingdom of God. And I want to thank all of you, Covenant Love, thank you. Thank you. So many of you are still faithful in your tithe and your giving. Thank you so much. And I want to encourage all of you, if you've been fed by this program, if you've been fed by the ministry of the Word of God today, just like you go to a restaurant, sow into the work of God. God will bless you. Let me pray over your giving. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now. And I pray, Father God, that you bless your people as they give in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, Isaac sowed in the middle of famine and reaped a hundredfold. The little widow woman gave it when she thought it was the end. She gave and it became the beginning of a miracle that kept her for 3 years. Father, I thank you right now for miracles. And Lord, we thank you right now that you're going to turn all of this situation around. We thank you that you're going to continue to bless us, continue to prosper us, like you said in your word, Father God. Above all things, you desire for us to be in health and prosper, even our soul prospers. Prosper your people. Meet every single need. Father, those that are struggling, those that have lost their jobs, I thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name, for opening up other avenues for them to be able to work or do whatever needs to be done. But meet their need, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, amen. There's a place right there on the screen where you can text or you can go to our website, mycl.church, and there's a place safe and secure right there that you can give. Also, you can mail it in. Our address is at the very bottom of our webpage, 420 Dunn Road. You can mail it in if you like, but we want to thank you for all that you do. Hey, don't forget. Hey, don't forget. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., we're going to be right here praising and worshiping God. Can you say amen?